Kia ora, good afternoon and welcome to the Rural News. I'm Eric Frickberg in Wellington.
And I'm Maya Burry in Christchurch. The Ministry for Primary Industries believes a chicken virus that was recently detected in New Zealand can be eradicated. Last month, MPI reported routine industry testing at two Otago egg farms owned by Mainland Poultry had identified the likely presence of infectious bursal disease type 1. The virus can affect the immune system of young chickens, but does not pose any food safety risk. However, MPI has stopped issuing export certificates for countries that require a guarantee that hens are free from the virus. That includes Australia, a market where New Zealand poultry exports are worth nearly $60 million a year. MPI's response manager, David Yard, says further testing has since confirmed the virus is present here, and it's now working with industry on the next steps.
The impacted farms, and these are both mainland properties, are under very tight biosecurity controls, and as such they ensure that any risk of spread are managed. And despite intensive surveillance, we still only have two infected properties, and no further properties appear to be infected, so the disease appears to be contained.
Does this mean you can eradicate the disease?
Well, look, MPI is working with industry to explore options for eradication. It is possible to get rid of it by allowing the hens in those affected flocks to reach the end of their natural productive life and safely dispose of them. Impacted farms would then thoroughly be disinfected in the barns concerned. This is just one option that we're working through. But again, I'd like to stress that the birds appear to be in good health and are laying well. So there's no animal welfare issues and no justification to immediately slaughter the birds.
So what about the halt on exports of poultry products to Australia and some other markets?
Well, whilst those markets are still on hold, particularly Australia, MPI's market access team have been working really hard with their counterparts in Australia to minimise the impacts on trade. We continue to work closely with those authorities on arrangements that might allow trade to resume as quickly as possible. But I would err a point of caution. When I say as quickly as possible, these things do take time. So, you know, it's not likely to happen in the next few weeks. So the market will remain shut for some time yet.
That's MPI's response manager, David Yard.
Dairy NZ is scrambling to preserve its alliance with beef and lamb after comments on the government's water reforms yesterday appeared to leave dairy farmers out in the cold. In a statement, Beef and Lamb said the government's action plan for healthy waterways would penalise meat farmers whose nutrient runoff was low, but they would allow farms that already leached nutrients into the environment to continue doing so until at least 2025 under so-called grandparenting provisions. This was a case of punishing the innocent and rewarding the guilty. The statement didn't mention dairy farmers by name, but clearly referred to them. Dairy NZ's chief executive, Tim Mackle, responds that the farming sector needs to stick together because all farmers have a stake in the right sort of environmental management.
So it's really important that we work closely together as Team Ag, and particularly the sheep and beef and dairy sectors. I mean, they're quite intertwined. If you think about it, you know, 40-odd percent of beef comes from dairy, so it's a big part of their sector. In fact, every single dairy farmer in New Zealand is a member of Beef and Lamb. So that's one of the key reasons why we do work so closely together, and we have been to date.
Beef and Lamb's view was that the grandparenting provisions would not only allow nutrient runoff to continue till at least 2025, but could carry on because local government, which is intended to administer water controls after that date, is notoriously slow to take action on many issues. Dr. Mackle says it has to be recognised that the dairy industry in New Zealand is far cleaner than its international rivals, and farming groups should combine to push this line. And there's more to it.
It's not all about nitrogen. And I think a very important thing is that, you know, AgResearch have got some work that shows that the dairy sector probably only contributes less than 10% of the total sediment loading to waterways across New Zealand. Now, the point is, you know, there's sediment coming from a whole lot of other areas, and it's not all about nitrogen. We've got sediment, we've got phosphate, and we've got E. coli as well. And we have to manage those all together, not just nitrogen.
Tim Mackle is encouraging individual farmers to make their feelings known about these proposals in submissions to the government.
Federated Farmers Waikato president, says a move by police to trial special vehicles carrying armed officers in an effort to cut down response times to serious firearm incidents will help ease concerns over crime in rural areas. The six-month trial will be held in counties Manukau, Waikato and Canterbury. Distinctive police-marked vehicles will have three armed offenders squad staff on board, and they will be on the road 7 days a week. The head of Federated Farmers in Waikato, Andrew McGivern, who is a former police officer, says farmers do feel less safe nowadays.
The rural community seems to be getting more and more of these incidents due to methamphetamine cooking and stuff like that, because we're isolated and it's easy enough for that to happen out there. So I think if that can help the response times, because AOS can take up to an hour to assemble and get out there, that's good from a farmer point of view, but also probably good from a police point of view, provided the right training is given and the correct amount of training is given for the police for the firearms. The response time compared to having to assemble the AOS team and then they go through their pre-briefing and before they get out to the scene will be reduced. But from a rural security point of view, anything where we can have an increased confidence and increased response time by police is going to be positive for the farmers out there.
Andrew McGivern says he would also like to see an increase in the number of police stationed in rural towns.
Time now for the latest from sale yards around the country. To tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, a senior analyst at AgriHQ. Suze, what's been happening this week?
Hi, Eric. Well, one of the main highlights at the yards this week has been the new season lambs that were sold at Stortford Lodge on Wednesday. They were an annual draft consignment of nearly 1,400 southbound mixed sex. And even though it was pouring down, they really looked great in the pens. We all knew these were going to make good money, but even the seasoned buyers that were there were still left shaking their heads. The first two lions were around 30 kilos and sold for $157 to $165, while the smaller lambs still managed $131 to $143.50. Now, just to put that into perspective, last year's results were $119 to $141 for similar lambs from the same place. But before anyone gets too excited, these early lambs usually do make a premium and prices do tend to come down to more relative levels as the season progresses. But it's definitely off to a good start.
That's good. And what about the cattle?
Yeah, well, there's also been plenty of cattle selling action this week with spring fairs on both islands. And all in all, results have been good with that grass market really starting to make itself felt. Everything has lifted a few pegs, even for the lesser-type cattle, and that is typical once that grass market kicks in. Significant rain this week over much of the North Island is going to help that too in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Suze. That's Suze Bremner from AgriHQ, and that's rural news for another day. Ka kite anō.